CR Global Impact Celebration, it's all about reaching across the street and around the world. Reaching across the street to our neighbors with the love of Christ, serving them, caring for them, just having an open heart and a friendship toward them, right? But also at the same time, reaching around the world, recognizing that God has given us the ability and the opportunity to be part of places like Banjarmasi or be part of Russia or Guatemala or a dozen other places, it seems like, around here. And so this season of the year, we're really kind of turning our mind and our hearts to prepare for the missionaries that are going to come and visit us. They're going to stay in our homes. We're going to get to hear their stories and share meals with them. And Dawn introduced to us that we kind of have four things that we need to do to prepare ourselves for the Global Impact Celebration. The four things he listed off, he said, first of all, we need to think differently about our time. He said we need to reorder our real priorities. We have to find and fulfill God's kingdom assignment, what God has called each of us individually to do. And finally, we have to own missions. We have to make missions ours. And last week, Don talked about time. If you were here, you know he really talked about time. I talked to high schoolers. I talked to my peers. I talked to some of the older ladies in my neighborhood group. Across the board, every single one of them said the same thing. Wow, I'm really selfish with my time. Or not just selfish. Some of them said, I am so unintentional about my time and how I spend it. I just kind of don't even think about how important it is. And Don really challenged us to remember, we all have the same amount of time, don't we? And it really kind of comes down to what we talk about today. Time is really a matter of priorities. Priorities. And if you're like me, I've got a lot of priorities. I mean, if you were to list off some of the priorities you have in your life, just think through them, right? A lot of us will list out God is a priority. Our families are a priority. Work is definitely important, isn't it? You have, you know, physical health or even your personal development. You have all of these different things that are healthy and right and good, and we think, these are all my priorities. But unfortunately, life isn't so simple that we can say, okay, here's my work chunk, and I spend all these hours doing work, and then here's my God chunk, and then here's my family chunk of time, and then here's my leisure chunk of time. It would be really easy if we could just divide our time up and work it out that way, but life doesn't really work that way. If you're like me and you take your priorities and you kind of expand them to look at everything each of those priorities requires, you end up having a task list that's longer than the day is, right? I mean, if you're like me, you start the day with like, I want to get this done, and at the end of the day, maybe two of those are crossed out and there's another dozen things that have seemed to have been added onto your task list. I mean, that's life for so many of us. We can't divide life into these cute little categories and make it work. Life is much more demanding than that. Not even with the time, but with the amount of energy it takes to fulfill all of the things being faithful to each of those priorities would require. So if you're like me, you'll say something like this, and I've heard it a lot of times. You know, I'm so busy, I'm just looking for balance. You ever said that? I'm just trying to find a spot in life where there's balance. It's kind of like, I don't know if it's like this magical idea that the pendulum swings from one huge task or one huge priority, and as it swings over to the next, there's like this magical spot right in the middle where you're like, I'm working the right amount of time, I'm resting the right amount of time, I'm enjoying my family with the right amount of time. And we reach for that, but I don't think that's really the reality. And that's what we're going to see today as we talk about priorities. We understand that priorities, it's really about learning to say yes to what's most important. And also, and this can be really difficult, learning to say no to the things that aren't quite as important. It's all about commitments and learning to make the right ones. See, priorities is not about having God time and having family time and having work time and personal time. When we look at the way God looks at priorities, it's really about how all of it's God time, isn't it? See, it's never this is my time for the Lord. Priorities and balance, it really is my family life is first and foremost. Not about my family. It's about the Lord. In my work time, it's first and foremost me looking to the Lord and saying, God, what do you want it to look like for me to be an employee or to be a coworker or to be a boss? Our times with our friends, it's not just I'm just going to go hang out and do whatever I want and have a good time. It's, Lord, how do you define this time? What does it look like for me to have your priorities in mind, even here during my leisure time? And see, if we're trying to have balance, balance rises and falls on one simple idea of accepting and living God's priorities for our life. When we talk about priorities, hopefully today we'll get an idea of what it looks like to understand, and not just understand, but to live God's priorities. So when I say that, what comes to your mind when you think, what are God's priorities? I mean, Billy mentioned a very clear passage, Jesus speaking, and he talks about what? Loving God and loving each other. That's definitely a priority for God. That's definitely a way God wants us to interact with him and with the rest of the world. But there's another passage that I want to talk about that Don actually mentioned last week, where Jesus gives us two super clear priorities. And, you know, sometimes Jesus talks and he makes you work a little bit to figure out what he's trying to say. There are definitely passages like that. But there's other times when Jesus is just like, he is crystal clear. He makes it so dead, blunt, and obvious to us that we can't really get around it. And this is one of those passages where Jesus makes it so clear to us. If you look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus says this. He says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. This is a passage about priorities. Jesus is talking about how we live and what we put at the top of our list, and he makes it clear for us. He says two things are our priorities. First, he says, his kingdom. He says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Now, what is God's kingdom? Simply put, God's kingdom is where God is king. God's kingdom is where Jesus is king. And so when we come into this room together, there's a lot of God's kingdom here, because there are a lot of people that come into this room and they say, God's my king. They say, Jesus is the one that I follow. He is the one in charge of my life. And so when we gather together, there's a lot of God's kingdom here, right? And we don't just come here together to have God's kingdom. We go out, which is almost more important, to go out and to be part of making his kingdom expand. When we make God's kingdom our first priority, what that looks like is that says, I am going to take Jesus' love, and I'm going to share it across the street and around the world. Making God's kingdom our priority is saying, I am going to take what God has given me, this gift of grace, this message of hope that Jesus died for me because he loves me. He came back to life to give me eternal hope. I'm going to take that, and I'm going to share that with people who don't have that. And I'm going to try to help them not just know that Jesus loves them. I'm going to try to help them fall in love with the Savior. That's what God's kingdom is all about. God's kingdom is this external expression of his kingdom growing. It's everywhere Jesus is glorified. Jesus is glorified when we choose him, right? And so the more people choose him, the greater his kingdom grows. That's what it looks like to have your first priority be to seek the kingdom of God. But he goes on and he says, the second priority is his righteousness. It says to live righteously. Living righteously is becoming more and more like Jesus. Now, I kind of want to caution here, because living righteously isn't just about what you do. It's about, first of all, who you are. If you look at the whole of Scripture, you look at passages like 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where it says, in verse 21, it says that God made Jesus for our sake to become sin, although he knew no sin, so that we could become the righteousness of God. When we talk about living righteously, we're not talking about just saying, you need to try hard to be more like Jesus. No, no, no. That'd mean it would be all about us. When we talk about living righteously, we're talking about turning our eyes, turning our heart to the fact that Jesus has already made us righteous. If you put your faith in Jesus, this verse is true about you. You are considered the righteousness of God. Jesus took all of your sin, all of my sin, and he put it on himself, and he said, I am going to pay for this. And in return, I'm going to give you my righteousness. So when Jesus says to live righteously, we're understanding this is the internal change that happens in you and I. As we follow Jesus and we open ourselves up and we say, God, whatever you say, I will do. So, on Friday night, we have high school youth group. And we have a small group, and I met some high schoolers right after youth group. I don't know, it's like 9:30 at night. And we're upstairs in the conference room, and we're talking about this very thing. We're talking about what it looks like to be on the path of life. And one of the things I love about youth ministry is so often teenagers are just so honest about where they're at in their faith. They're not willing to put on the mask that sometimes we put on as adults and say, oh, you know, I'm kind of doing it all right. They just said, here's where I'm struggling, right? And they get out, and we had a great conversation. And at the end of it, I asked, okay, let me ask you this. What is the one area where you tell God not to talk about to you? And that's kind of what living righteously is about. It's saying, God, there is nothing off limits when it comes to my life. You know, some of the guys, they got up there and they talked about these different areas in their life, and they were so honest. But my challenge was, what are you hiding? What are you keeping away from the Lord? What are you saying, God, I'm going to live righteously in all of these areas, minus right here. Where are you not letting him change you? See, these two priorities, to seek first his kingdom. This is the external kind of following through and taking him into the world. And to live righteously, this is the internal transformation that happens in a believer of Christ. See, living is the priorities. It has to start on the inside. It never starts on the outside with us just trying to do more. Now, these priorities are really clear, right? It doesn't take much work for someone to get up here and talk about these two things. Focus on God's kingdom. Focus on living the way he tells you to do. But notice what is on his task list and what's not on our task list. The last thing he says in that verse is he says everything we need is on his task list. The passage says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Now, simply put, this passage is saying, when you make God your priority, God makes you his priority. When you and I, when we're willing to say to God, I am going to do whatever you call me to do, whatever it takes to live for you first and foremost, God turns around to us and he says, I'm going to take care of the rest. He says, everything you need is under my control. And guess what? He is much better at taking care of those needs than we are, isn't he? I mean, think about it for a second, right? You and I, we're finite humans. We have so much resource. We have so much energy. We have so much strength and intellect. But there's a cap for every single one of us. Even teenagers who think they know it all, right? There's a cap. I know what you guys are thinking. And we can say to ourselves, I'm going to take care of everything on my own. I'm going to take care of all my needs. Or we can turn to not the finite, but the infinite God, who has endless resources, who has endless strength, who has endless energy, the same God who created the world with his words. And he'll say, if you put me first, I'll take care of the other things. I'll take care of the rest. See, if we make God our priority, he makes us his priority. Here's kind of what it looks like. Some of you guys have seen something along these lines before, but imagine this is your life. Your life has a certain amount of capacity, and you have to decide, what am I going to fill my life with? Every single one of us, we have to choose. What am I going to fill my life with? And you have these different priorities. Let's say this is the big priority. This is seeking first his kingdom and living righteously. And then there's the next in line of priorities. These are the kind of like the have-tos, yeah? Guess what? If you put first his kingdom, that doesn't mean you don't have to work, right? Things like work and taking care of your family and things like that. Those are important things. Those are priorities. And then you have the other stuff in life. The other stuff in life that you fill with things like entertainment, things like, you know, personal development or whatever it might be. Seahawks. I don't know. What else? I'm not trying to single anyone out. We're all going to watch the game today, I know. All these other things in life that we try to fill our life with, we try to make so important to us. And what happens if we go about life and we say, I am going to put this stuff first? Well, we fill our life, and it fills a good chunk of our life, doesn't it? And they say, oh man, I take care of the stuff I want to, but oh, I got to work, and I got to take care of my family, and I got all these other responsibilities. And so we fill our life with the rest of it. Oh, and then there's Jesus. Now I need to make some room for him, I guess. And so we try to kind of fill it up, but it kind of works. It kind of makes life work, but there's really kind of just leftover room, if much room at all. And we end up making him our last priority instead of our first. But there's another way to do it, isn't there? If we're willing to listen to him and make his kingdom and living righteously first, I thought about putting a microphone under the table to make the rocks sound even more dramatic as they fell out. There's another way to do it that it says, instead of going and worrying about all of my cares, worrying about all of my needs, trying to make myself the top priority, the other way is you say, I'm going to put God first. You say, I'm going to put the kingdom of God. What happens if you go about it this way? You put God in first. You say, I'm going to make his kingdom in living righteously my very first priority. And then you let him guide you as you take care of the rest of life. And you find he works it out. He says, I'll take care of the rest of life. I'll take care of the rest of your needs. And he makes it all fit just right, doesn't he? This is what this passage is talking about when it says to seek first his kingdom. It says to make him the peace that defines everything. And then trust him that he will make the rest work out exactly like it's supposed to. Now, I learned this lesson in a real way my freshman year at UW. My freshman year at UW, I experienced what some of our graduates that graduated this past year are experiencing right now. It's called syllabus shock. Right? Anybody ever experienced that before? Joy, have you experienced that? You walk into class, one class after another, and your professors think that they're like the most important thing in your life. And they assign reading and homework and assignments like you have nothing better to spend all your time doing the schoolwork, right? And so I had all these classes and all these books, and I put myself to the task. I said, I'm gonna be a good student. So I started studying. And I didn't have enough time. So I started getting up early and staying up late. And I still felt like I did not have enough time. And so slowly I just kind of said, God, I got a test today. Help me, but I can't really meet with you today. I got to study. And that kind of happened the next day too. And slowly and surely I realized, you know what? I'm not spending time with him at all. And I'm not getting any classwork done. And I'm stressed all the time. And I don't know what I'm doing. And someone brought this verse to my attention. I said, no, you got to put God first, and he'll take care of everything else. Well, I like to say that I did that perfectly, and then I ended up having a 4.0. That's not really the case. But I did put him first, and I did end up getting all my work done. And I did end up experiencing what it's like to let him take care of things and make life work together in such a way that he says, you put me first, and let me take care of everything else. See, this is what it looks like to say, God, you're my priority. Your kingdom, your glory, letting Jesus be glorified more and more in the world and living righteously, letting Jesus be formed in me more and more from the inside out. That's what we're talking about when Jesus is saying this. So what does it look like if we're actually going to do this? How do we make his priorities our priorities? Well, the first thing is it takes a lot of wisdom. You know, I talk to teenagers about this a lot. Every single one of us, we have our own perspective on life, don't we? We have our own perspective, and it's shaped by the way we were raised. It's shaped by our life experience, by the jobs we work, by the people we spend time with. We all have this little perspective that says, this is how life makes sense in my mind. But there's only one who has the true perspective of how life really works, and it's God. You know, God looks at us and he sees our perspective, but he sees so much more than what we see, and he sees life for what it really is. And so when he says to put his priorities first, One of the first things that has to happen is we need to start pursuing wisdom. We need to start trying to see life from His perspective. That's why you have, you know, the book of Proverbs, so much of it is about learning what wisdom is. Listen to this passage from chapter 2. It says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to the wisdom and inclining your ear to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." This is a picture of saying, I am sold out trying to see life, not from my perspective, but from God's perspective. I am sold out trying to ignore all of the different perspectives that our culture is trying to give me, telling me what's right and what's wrong, how I should live and how I shouldn't live. I'm tuning that out and I'm listening to God. Because He's the one that really understands how life works. We begin by looking for wisdom. And the best place to start is to look into His Word. If He's got this wisdom, if He's got this perspective of life, He has given us what we need to understand, at least what He wants us to understand about His perspective. Now, when I became a Christian, I was introduced to 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's kind of this passage, verses 16 and 17, that elevates God's Word and helps us understand how vital and how special and unique God's Word is. Most of us have heard this, but listen all the way through to verse 17. It says, "For all Scripture is breathed out by God, and it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." You know, if God's priorities are what's best for you, and if you're pursuing His priorities, you're pursuing the good work that He's called you to do. And this passage connects some dots for us, and it says, if you want to be ready to fulfill God's priorities in your life, if you want to be ready to do what God has called you to do, it starts by opening up the Scripture and reading it. It's looking at it, memorizing it. I'm not saying you got to memorize the whole thing, but let it be part of your daily life. Because if it's not, if you start drifting from the Scripture, you start drifting from wisdom and from God's perspective, it's really easy to drift from His priorities, isn't it? I mean, just do kind of a mental check for yourself for a second. This past week, how often did you meet God in Scripture? I'm not saying this to make you feel guilty, and I'm not going to point anyone out, but how often did you say, God, I need your perspective on life? And I'm going to the one place I know I can get it. Did you open up that Word? Or did you choose the other things? Did you choose those little things of life that tend to get in our way? See, God's got so much wisdom for us if we're willing to look for it in His Word. Not only do we look for it in His Word, but we look for wisdom by asking Him for it. This is such a remarkable passage in James chapter 1. God says, "If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him." I want you to understand just how beautiful this passage is. You know, when I was at Albertsons, I had a boss, and every time I'd ask him a question, he was like demeaning. You guys ever have anyone like that in your life? Like, you go and you ask a question and you know you're going to feel stupid with the way they respond, right? Hey, even just the smallest thing, even the most complicated thing. Hey, I need some molecular physics help here. Can you help me out? How come you don't know that, right? It's kind of that kind of, it's not true with God. This passage says, if you need wisdom, it says you go to God and He gives it generously, without reproach. He doesn't mock you. He doesn't belittle you. He doesn't say, don't you know this already? No. When you come to Him for wisdom, He says, my child, let me guide you. Let me show you the path. Isn't that beautiful? See, if we decide that we want God's priorities in our life, we need to approach wisdom in the Scripture, but we just need to begin by asking Him in prayer. God, show me your way. Show me what it looks like for me to truly live for you. And then it gets to a point where we have to act on what we know. It's one thing to know what God says and what we're supposed to. It's a whole other thing to begin to act on what He reveals in His Scripture and when we pray. See, when we act on what we know, making choices in line with what He's told us to do here and now, right now, when we begin to do that, that's called obedience. Today, this week, this year, you're going to have opportunity after opportunity to obey. Opportunity to say, I know what God wants me to do in this moment. He wants me to think about Him first. He wants me to obey. He wants me to say no to sin. He wants me to be kind to this person. He wants me to ask this person if they know who Jesus is. You're going to have all of these opportunities. And when you begin to do that, when you do that, that's called obedience. But continued obedience, that's called faithfulness. When you obey once, that's awesome. But when you obey the next day, and the next, and days turn into weeks, and weeks of obedience turn into months, and then years, that's called faithfulness. That's a beautiful thing when you start to have a life that is characterized time and time again by saying, God, I want to put you first. I want to put you first in my life, and I'm going to make your priorities my priorities. When you begin to do that, that's called faithfulness. And faithfulness, it's one of those signs of a true believer. That's what Jesus says in John 8. He says, if you abide in my word, he says, if you live according to what I say, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus says, if you actually live according to what I've instructed you, he says, that's a mark of knowing you truly are in the faith. He says, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And that means you'll be free from sin, for sure. But I really do believe that means you're going to be free from all this other stuff. You'll be free from pursuing all these other things that you think are going to bring satisfaction or fulfillment or joy or hope or security or identity or significance. You'll be free from all that because you'll have Jesus as your significance. The more you obey, the more confident you become in that. Now, I know what it's like to sit in service and have someone share truths that really, I mean, God's word is beautiful. But you sit there, and if I were sitting there right now, here's what I'd be thinking. That's awesome, Mike, but is that really reality? I mean, I'd be thinking, that's a lot easier to say than it is to live, isn't it? I mean, we all know the struggles. Just because I get to come up here and get the privilege of sharing this doesn't mean that I'm exempt from feeling the same exact pressures. I know exactly what it's like to fill my cup first with the things that are worthless. I know exactly what that's like. So if we are really going to put His priorities first, one of the things we have to do is we have to recognize there's a battle going on between our priorities. There is actually a battle between what God has called us to and all these other things trying to get our attention and get our time, to get our resources and all of that. See, what happens is we accept God's leadership. We say, God, I'm going to follow you. I believe in Jesus. I'm all in, right? Let's go. But before long, we revert back to other kind of priorities. We revert back to worrying about all the other things instead of letting God worry about that. And just like I did my freshman year of school, we find ourselves disconnected from Him and focusing on all of our own stuff. Jesus warns us about this in Matthew 6, just a few verses before that first verse I shared. He says, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. And he goes on, he says, you cannot serve both God and money. You know, there's more than just money as one of those predictable priorities that tries to war with God in our lives. Money and possession, materialism, that certainly is one. I mean, we all know what it's like to want the best or the new thing out there, to think that we'll find some sort of satisfaction in the latest phone or gizmo, right? That's real for every single one of us. But there's also like desires for pleasure, recreation. I had a friend take me out a few weeks ago out on Lake Washington, and it was like the most beautiful September afternoon. It was hot. The lake was still. I got to wakeboard. It was awesome, right? I mean, and I'm thinking, we're out there in just this beautiful day, and I'm like, I could get used to this, right? I could see spending every Saturday this nice like this out here, right? Recreation draws us in. It pulls us in, and it says, this is what life is really about. It's so easy to go down that line. Or what about fandom? You know, and again, I'm not picking on anyone. I'm going to watch the game just like everyone else. But we get so wrapped up in being a fan of a certain sports team. And I'm just going to tell you guys, at the end of time, it doesn't matter if the Seahawks win the Super Bowl this year. It matters that Jesus is the king of your life. Right? It doesn't matter if the Hawks go all the way. I hope they do. But what really matters is Jesus is king of your life. That's what it looks like to make sure you put him first. You seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Right? So, what are the priorities that are at war in your life? You know, chances are it's different for every single one of us. There's some similarities. But what's true is every single one of us have different priorities that are trying to crowd out Jesus and become the very first thing in our life. What is it for you? Is it recreation? Has your desire to succeed at work, is that winning the war over God's will in your life? Has family time become an excuse for ignoring God's commands? I'm telling you, if there's one for me, it's probably that. I got to be a good dad and a good husband. I got to spend time with my family. Those are true statements. But how easy is it to put that above God? So easy. Has rest and relaxation after a hard day's work, is that keeping you out of the game and keeping you from fulfilling the calling that Jesus placed on your life? He wants to make a difference with you. And when we look at all this other stuff, oh, I just need some time off. Oh, that priority is sucking real life right out of you because you're missing what he's called you to. My friends, these are the questions we have to ask ourselves. We have to let questions like this and ask the Spirit to guide us to answer correctly these questions. And when it comes down to it, we need to examine ourselves. But more than examining ourselves, because I can deceive myself, we need to ask God to examine us. I want to share with you a passage in which the people of God have missed God's priorities. They've replaced them with their own priorities, and there are consequences to living life their way. As we'll see oftentimes, life just doesn't work out when you try to do your thing instead of what God's called you to. God examines these people, and then he simply says to them, he says, consider how things are going for you. I want us to do that very thing. I want us to look at this passage and then consider how things are going for us individually. Haggai chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Then the Lord sent his messenger through the prophet Haggai. He says, why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins? This is what the Lord of heaven's army says. Look at what's happening to you. You have planted much, but you harvest little. You eat, but you're not satisfied. You drink, but you are still thirsty. You put on clothes, but you cannot keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. This is what the Lord of heaven's army says. Look at what's happening to you. Whew. See, remember what we said earlier. When you make God your priority, God makes you his priority. But this passage teaches that the flip side is also true. When you and I, when we make ourselves our priority, when we ignore what God has called us to, he has no problem working against our success. He looks at these people and he says, you've made life all about yourself. You're living in these luxurious homes. And so you go to work and you plant and you harvest and you eat and you're not full. And you drink and it doesn't satisfy. It's like, he says, it's like you get your money, you put it in your pockets, but there's holes in it. Does life feel that way sometimes? It says, when you put yourself above God's priority, life just doesn't work right. Life just doesn't work right. You know, when I bring this passage up, my role is to teach. Fortunately, my role is not the judge, but there is one. And I want to ask you a few questions, and I want you to ask him the same questions. I want to just give you a handful of questions and let you quietly reflect and think as I do. And this is all about not what I think about you or what Don or Billy thinks about you. This is all about what the Lord thinks about you and what he's saying. He says, consider your life. How's it going? First question. Is your life consistent with God's priorities? Is your life one where you put him first and let him take care of the rest? Or is it more like the other when it's flipped upside down? What do you find most fulfilling in life? If you have activities or work or some other kind of pleasure that you pursue and you find that is your joy and your hope, you find that as your satisfaction, then you probably aren't putting God first. Do you offer God your best? Or do you offer him what's left over after you've done what you want to do? How about this? If you knew you had 1 year to live, if God came to you and said, "In 1 year from now, you're going to stand before me in heaven," would you live your life the exact same way you're living it right now? What would you change to let him be your first priority? What would you do so you could spend your last year knowing that you're living for him? These are some huge questions. And I think as individuals, each of us need to wrestle with them. But I think as a community, we need to wrestle with them as well. I've struggled this whole week with deciding whether or not to share this. And I shared it in the first service, and no one threw anything with me and threw anything at me, so hopefully I'll be safe this service too. But the parallels just keep coming to the forefront of my mind, so I'm just going to put it out there. And I'm going to leave it for you to consider and for you to think about. But is it possible that God feels the same way about our involvement in life way that he felt about his people who wouldn't rebuild his temple? You know, this passage describes the temple as in ruins. And it says God's people are all wrapped up with their own priorities, and they've simply forgot or ignored what God has called them to do. And don't get me wrong, guys. Lifeway, we're not in ruins here, right? But I need you to understand that there is more ministry to be done here than you and I can even realize yet. This isn't a complaint, but the pastoral and the support staff here joyfully work more hours than they even get close to being paid for. I'm going to tell you, there was someone who gets paid like quarter time here all day Friday and all day yesterday doing things because there's no one else that does them. Right? Now, financially speaking, all I'm going to say is we all look at the back of the program every week and we all know that we're on a slim budget anyway. And I don't know who gives what, but I know God's called us to something. And I'm certainly not accusing or judging. God help me from being angry preacher guy, right? That is not me. But I just want to bring the question up. Are we missing out on what God wants to do through our church? Because we're all doing our own things, our own ways. Are we missing out on the ministry God wants to do through us, touching Federal Way, reaching across the street? Because we're all focused on our own luxurious homes, whatever that looks like for each of us, right? Whatever that priority is that lures us away. Are we missing out from what God wants to do on the other side of the world through us? And we already do so much, but what if he wants to do even more? And he's asking us to consider our ways. What are we really doing? Now, if I'm totally off, I'm totally off. You can write a letter to Don and complain to him. He'll deal with that just fine. But what I want to ask of you is if you'll stand with me. And I'm going to pray, and then we're going to worship a little bit together. But as I pray, I want you to be thinking through these questions we've asked. I want you to be thinking about what God has called you as an individual and us as the church to, so that we can reach across the street and around the world. Let's ask God to make His priorities our priorities and give us everything we need to accomplish what He's called us to do. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for Your grace that every single one of us walks into this room and none of us have figured it out. There's not one of us this perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But You've also given us the grace to understand what it looks like to grow. And to step a little further into a relationship with You, and You make it so obvious what Your priorities are. And God, I pray that you would encourage every single one of us with the truth that if we make You our priorities, You will make us Your priority. We don't have to worry about taking care of our needs. We don't have to worry about getting wrapped up with all the other stuff that the world and culture tries to sell us. We simply just need to focus on doing what You've already called us to do. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.